Hello and welcome back to Uniquely Genetics, a podcast by Sheep Genetics. I'm Chloe Bunter, and today for our fourth episode, we're stepping outside of the genetics technical detail and history of the evaluation we've been covering in the last couple of episodes. And instead, we're looking at the different people and committees that sit around the evaluation. We often hear that it takes a village to raise a child, and this is very applicable to sheep genetics. From the researchers investigating and implementing their work to the representatives that sign off on changes and the sheep genetics team itself, there are many hands that play a part in delivering the evaluation and changes that we heard about in episode 3. Today's topic include two of those committees, the technical committee and the advisory committee. The role of these committees is to help advise, provide feedback, and support the work being done. We're also going to take this opportunity to learn a little bit more about the people and roles within the sheep genetics team itself. Now, in my opinion, there is no better person to talk to us today about the committees and the sheep genetics team than our special guest. She's been in the sheep genetics team for 23 years and is the voice on the phone talking you through everything from subscription renewals to data submission. She's a wealth of knowledge and our go-to anytime we had a question about how things have been done previously, what happened when, or where to find anything on our systems. Her unofficial title is the Captain of Cheer and Optimism, but officially in the Sheep Genetics team, she is the Project Coordinator. I'm talking about, of course, Fiona McLaughlin.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today on Uniquely Genetics, Fiona.
No worries.
I was wondering if you could please give us a little bit of a summary about your role within genetics and the sheep industry over the 23 years you've worked for MLA.
So I came to sheep genetics. I had been working in southwestern New South Wales on a cropping and cotton property. I got the role with Lamplan, and at that stage it was a very small group with just the manager, Alex Ball, a development office manager in Stephen Field, and myself. So my role was very much, I've always called myself the jack of all trades, although I attended to do whatever needed to be done at the time. Obviously, you know, the accounts are a big part, as well as reporting business outcomes, you know, on what the billed animals had been and how many members we had in the various sectors, whether maternal or terminal at that stage, and then soon after Merino as well. And I've also played a big role in events that we might be holding across the country, be it a field day or a workshop for breeders to come and learn at. Going forward, I became heavily involved in the committees as well. So once Lamplan sort of evolved and became Sheep Genetics, we were overseen by the executive committee, which comprised senior staff from MLA, the manager of Sheep Genetics, and that was pretty much the executive committee. So advising that executive committee, we had the technical committee.
Absolutely. And it's those committees that we're going to talk about today, being the technical committee and the advisory committee. For any of our listeners who aren't really sure the role that they play within sheep genetics, are you able to give us just a quick summary on sort of where they sit in the grand scheme of things?
Executive committee sort of was basically overseeing everything, is advised by the other two committees. So the technical committee of scientists, research scientists, not just in the sheep industry directly involved in developing OVIS, and also people from other industries, be it dairy or, you know, beef. It's a good peer review of the work that's being done. So at the technical committee, committee members would discuss and put up options of how things could be done better. It pretty much, coming from that strong of scientific background, it's very much an eye opener, the technical committee. There's it blows my mind just how well they to put things together and look at each other's work and provide feedback and just really improve the way the analysis is done continuously over the course of the whole time I've been there and going forward as well. So the technical committee would receive priorities from the advisory committee and other industry feedback. So the advisory committee consists mostly of breeders. In more recent time, there's been some service providers added to that committee as well. Really empowering. Every time I came home from an advisory committee meeting, I would be super pumped. People that sat in the room really passionate about the industry and what they were doing and how they contribute and is very inspiring. Everyone who's, not just me, but everyone who's been on that committee, the breeders, got a lot out of it as well from each other and learning about, you know, particularly the difference in a terminal breeder, for example, and looking at each other's wants and needs and how that fits in with priorities and what's what we're capable of doing. Not just that, but the networking with each other. They learn a lot from each other. They don't just provide feedback to the exam committee, they also help one another and learn from one another. In a strictly formal sense, the advisory committee is there to bring, to represent ideas and feedback to sheep genetics, as well as oversee how sheep genetics is performing against the business plan, and whether we're hitting our KPIs, all of those sorts of things. It's a very good governance program. Focused and heading in the right direction all the time.
It is, as you said, sitting behind the scenes with that research development and those major decisions. Going back over the last couple of years, can you think of any major bodies of work that have recently gone through these committees and been implemented into sheep genetics?
There have been a lot. Obviously, every analysis enhancements. So one of the big ones that the technical committee were able to achieve was a single step analysis research and being able to put it out there in the real world as quickly as they did. From an advisory committee point of view, they saw a need to future-proof sheep genetics and the database. So they sort of put forward to the executive that focus should be that database is redeveloped into a more modern format that that lots of developer and they'll be able to pick it up and use it. So that was a major piece of work that was very much pushed for several years, which has now been completed. And prior to that, the search update that we had, as that work progresses in all of it, if you know what I mean, with single step, with the database redevelopment, every time any of those committees meet, there is an update on how it's going and you know, tweak and pivot and work out which is the best way forward as required. They certainly have brought about some major change and they should be very proud of.
It is, as you mentioned, an ongoing process getting projects through, and especially in genetics, things don't just happen overnight. For major pieces of work like the database redevelopment or single step, as you mentioned, what type of timeframes are we talking about between when the papers are presented to these committees for the first time to being influenced?
Yeah, so the database redevelopment in particular was several years, a very expensive development as well. So there was quite a while to get the project through MLA and the funding available to do it, and so it takes several years sometimes, and during that time, because on the advisory the breeder committee members roll over, they you know change, they only stay there from sort of 3 to 6 years and then new people come on. So a learning curve for them, they might come onto the committee really excited about doing something only to find out that you know everyone's time and resources are already out development. So they've got to support that whilst looking at future priorities as well.
What would you say to breeders who are interested in becoming more involved in this process or looking to become part of the advisory committee? Do you have any sort of tips for them or words of wisdom?
Look, my advice would be to definitely apply. As much as it's hard to get away from their farms to attend the meetings, and initially they might be thinking, oh my goodness, what have we done? But in my experience, everyone who's been on that committee goes through such a journey of the analysis, the staff, just what's involved in getting a project through, you know, how much time it does take to do things and how much money it takes. And also it broadens their mind. Everybody sort of gets caught up in their own little breeding program and what their clients want to achieve, but being on that committee, all of a sudden you realise that there's a whole industry of people trying to do similar but slightly different things to what you're doing, and it's really good at pretty much everyone who does roll off is generally very good at the committee, and the main comment they always make when leaving is, we've learned so much.
Absolutely. And all those networks and contacts that they've made, talking to the other breeders around them as well. It's a real community coming out of it.
Definitely, definitely. And that's one of the biggest positives to being on the committees or attending a workshop or attending our leading breeder forum is the network.
Pivoting slightly now, I thought this was a good opportunity for us to have a chat about the different roles within the Sheep Gen X team specifically. You've been part of the team for 23 years. You've seen a lot of changes come through. And we do have some specific roles within the team allowing us to cover everything and work effectively. I was wondering if you could give a very brief overview of what the role of the Sheep Gen X manager is, who's currently held by Peter Bradley.
This role is very diverse and very demanding. They are wanted by every breeder. However, the role is kind of bigger than that, and they're responsible for managing the staff of Sheep, as well as the committees, and mm-hmm. also so those projects. So, you know, if a committee does put a project forward, and it then kind of almost falls on the manager to mostly put that project proposal together and get it through and follow it all the way through the media approval processes through MLA and then contracting and eventually implementing and managing. They are ultimately responsible for whether Sheep Genetics does hit our KPIs for the business plan or not. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they can't do that alone. The rest of the staff are required to help with that. But yeah, it's a big job requiring a lot of planning and then implementing.
What about the database manager? So that's currently held by Stephen Field and Ermias. They have had some slightly different roles over the time period from what I can gather, but can you give us a little bit of an update on what their roles are?
Certainly. So it has changed since Stephen was already the land plan database manager when I started 23 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he was responsible for maintaining that database. He also built a software program called Pedigree Wizard initially and then Pedigree Master, mm-hmm. available for clients to submit their data on. So Stephen built a program and made that available for breeders to send their measurements in Pedigree Master so that they were then able to validate and ensure that what they'd recorded was correct and send it in. Stephen is still, Pedigree Master certainly still exists, and that he's continuously upgrading that as required for assisting breeders with getting their data into the analysis and ensuring that what they've submitted, fits within reasonable guidelines and that they haven't made mistakes, I guess. So initially, we then also had a Merino selector, which became Ermias. He came into that role. Now that the database has been combined all into one, Ermias is now responsible for a lot of the development of the database and ensuring that reports are put on and available for breeders to download the continuous improvement of it.
Absolutely. And within your role, you worked a lot quite closely with these two members of the team, trying to get data in and updating and making sure that everything's working smoothly.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I often, if breeders ring, generally they can come through the main line, which generally if they're ringing, it's because they're having trouble entering their data or submitting their data has come up. I would then talk to Stephen about how to remedy that and help the breeder to get it through. Stephen's knowledge is unbelievable for breeders and just being able to look at a data set and quickly say, oh, there's a typo there, that's what's mucking it up, or something that...
Yeah, absolutely. It shocks me how quickly he can pick up a obscure typo just scrolling through the data set. It's a really amazing skill that I wish I possessed. Moving along to the project administrator's role. So this is held by Nicole Williams and yourself. And as you said at the start, it is a little bit of a jack of all trades, but what would you say are sort of the main components year in, year out of this role that you've been working on?
Yeah, so the main role of the project administrators contact for clients is the membership. So, sending out invitations to renews, the billing that goes on monthly, there's reporting, there's communications that go out, there's a lot of the updates and also updating the website. I was responsible for a lot of the logistics and organising our work travel for both staff and advisory committee members. It's very much a jack of all trades.
Would you say that as the seasons go on, we obviously have sort of our sales season or our joining season, would your role change much throughout the calendar year, or is there a little bit of everything throughout the entire time?
There definitely were times of the year when you would put everything else to the side and just be there for breeder support. Generally, breeders would be wanting to get their data in, wanting to get their data back, wanting to upload sale catalogues. Certainly during ram selling season, that would be our main focus. We would try to have the workshop store then, so that breeders had a chance to come in and talk to development officers and learn about how to do all of that. So that would happen sort of before ram selling season. The committees were generally meetings within a month or so of each other, and we would hold about three a year, and we would fit those so that perhaps during ram selling season, for example, because it was such a critical time to be there for client support.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, to round out the Sheep Genetics team, there's the role of the three development officers, which is held by myself, Marnie Hodge and Kate Rummery.
As much as I said, Nicole and I were the first point of contact for breeders, development officers are the main point of contact for breeders. Needed a diagnostic done on an animal to see why the breeding value was, had moved or was in the way it seemed to make sense for what the animal looked like visually, then the development officers are the ones who would look at the data and look at the results and then get back. Development officers, the service delivery extension, workshops, webinars are what the development officers are doing. So they are very much in the adoption space for sheep genetics. The roles where we see the most staff turnover, which is good and bad. It's bad in that we're always sad when somebody leaves, because one of the best parts about sheep genetics is the team and how well everyone gels and gets along. But it's also good because those people have had lots of training, lots of interaction with industry and breeders, and then go out into industry in another role and continue value to the sheep industry. So I think it's a really good platform for training people as well as have for our breeders to ring up and chat to about their animals and their results.
It is true that once you get into the genetic space, it's very hard for you to leave it. We do become quite passionate about it.
Yes, definitely.
Now, I'm going to let the listeners in on a little secret. We are recording this after you have finished up with Meat Livestock Australia after an amazing 23 years. I was hoping you could give us a little bit of a reflection about your time here and some of the amazing changes that you've alluded to that's occurred and some of your favourite memories supporting these breeders as you have so well over that time.
Certainly making the decision to leave sheep genetics was a really hard decision, a decision that the hard bit was over, but that was not true. It then became really hard to ring it staff, and got through that. I then started to reflect on some of the breeders who I've been speaking with for 23 years, and when they would ring, they would, oh, how are your twins going? And can't believe they've grown up. I mean, I was working with Lamplan when my girls were born and grown up and left home. So It has certainly been a long period of time, and I've certainly got some good relationships with some country, a couple of them, like, I've never even met face-to-face, but I've been speaking to them for the whole 23 years. So others I have met face-to-face, either through the advisory committee meetings or attending field days like Sheep Pension. So, yeah, it was certainly very tough. So in saying that, I know it's sheep genetics is in good hands. Everything's going to keep moving forward. Yeah, it wasn't reliant on me. It's certainly a team effort.
Well, thank you so much for joining today on the podcast. And, yeah, as I said, thank you so much for all your service in the last 23 years. I know whenever we had a question or whenever we needed some obscure piece of knowledge from the last 23 years you were our go-to, and we really appreciate all the time and effort you put into helping us all train up and fit in and become part of the Sheep Genetics family that extends out to the breeders as well.
No, thank you, Chloe, and thank you for having me on the podcast. It's I may have left and moved on to a new role, but I'll certainly be watching with interest forever.